I'm Alex Chadwick. This is Day to Day. There were federal court challenges yesterday in three states for the partial birth abortion ban that President Bush signed into law in November. As Deborah Schifrin reports, the actual cases in New York, San Francisco, and Lincoln, Nebraska are being overshadowed by political debate.
In the San Francisco trial, the arguments yesterday began on the courthouse steps. Planned Parenthood President Gloria Felt explained why her organization says the Partial Birth Abortion Ban Act is unconstitutional.
It has no exception to protect the health of the woman at all. It presents an undue burden for women because the doctor can't be sure that he or she can use a technique that's most helpful to the woman's health and future fertility. But the real issue here is that there is a bigger hidden agenda.
That agenda, Felt says, is to eventually outlaw all abortions. In fact, she says, the language of the law is so broadly written that it could be used to prohibit a wide range of abortion options. Inside the courthouse, the day's main witness was Dr. Maureen Paul, chief medical officer for Planned Parenthood's San Francisco affiliate. She testified that the banned procedure, intact dilation and extraction, is one of the safest and most common methods of abortion for women in the second trimester. Paul says she is also concerned that if she continues to perform the types of abortions she thinks are safest, she could end up in prison. Planned Parenthood President Gloria Felt says that is precisely the problem with having politicians make medical decisions.
It's inappropriate for members of Congress or President Bush to tell doctors how to practice medicine in a way that will best protect the health of their patients.
The Justice Department, led by U.S. Attorney General John Ashcroft, is not discussing the case. But in a press statement, the department maintains that the procedure is never medically necessary. Jay Sekulow agrees. He's chief counsel for the American Center for Law and Justice, and he's helping the government argue that this procedure is cruel and painful to the fetus.
I think what Congress recognizes that this is tantamount to infanticide, and Congress has the ability and authority to ban infanticide.
And he says there's broad support for this law.
Now you're going to see in each of these trials credible experts in the field, heads of departments of major hospitals and major universities, including Yale University, that are going to testify on this.
But many legal experts say the government faces an uphill battle in all three trials. In the year 2000, the U.S. Supreme Court ruled on a similar Nebraska law. The court said it was unconstitutional because the language of the law was too vague and there were no exceptions made for the health of the woman. But Douglas Johnson, legislative director for the National Right to Life Committee, says Congress's extensive fact-finding on the issue gives the government's arguments weight.
There's a co-equal branch of government here, which had 8 years of hearings on this issue. They heard from every point of view. They debated it. There were elections in the meantime, and they decided that they had a substantial basis to say, this we're not going to allow.
But ironically, it was the Roe versus Wade decision that lessened the power and influence of these sorts of congressional findings. That's the argument of George Washington University law professor Jeffrey Rosen.
In the 1960s, conservatives said that judges should defer to the political branches. Roe versus Wade changed the playing field. Conservatives were so angry about Roe, they felt so ill-used by it, that they abandoned their traditional rhetoric of judicial restraint. And the traditional conservative idea that judges should be deferential to the political branches went out the window.
Rosen says these trials are more political theater than anything else, with both sides using the issue to mobilize their political base. And regardless of who wins these trials, the outcomes are certain to be appealed, possibly all the way up to the Supreme Court. For Day to Day, I'm Deborah Schifrin.
And you're listening to Day to Day.